Today's saint, St. Rose of Lima, was a third order Dominican in Lima, Peru. And in her readings for the Office of Readings today has that very powerful reading that she states that you might say the law of grace is that you do not receive grace without first suffering, without first having to endure tribulation or the cross. That is the way in which God has arranged the whole system, you might say, is that first you have to have Good Friday before you can have Easter Sunday. And we can see that in our own lives, but most especially we can see that in our Lord and our Lady, that for them to obtain the great prize that they won for us, they had to undergo tribulation and the cross. Yesterday we celebrated Our Lady's queenship, and we mentioned about, you know, her role as co-redemptrix and how important it was that she obtained the glory that she has, which she had already because of her Immaculate Conception, but all that was through the foreseen merits of her son, who would be offering himself and sacrificing, that the first fruit of his redemption is her grace of the Immaculate Conception. And so every grace has a price. And we sometimes forget that, you know, we're praying for some individual, or we're praying for the conversion of someone, or we're praying for our nation and for the terrible state that it's in, that all these graces that we hope to obtain come with a price. Our Lord has already paid the price in full, but we too have to make an installment, you might say, of paying and being allowed, you might say, to join into that paying of the price that is necessary to obtain the salvation of souls, the grace of conversion. And Our Lady's co-redemption really shows that, you know, Our Lady cooperated. She said fiat to God's will in wanting to help pay forth her part to be participating in that work of redemption that her son came to complete and to accomplish. That when we look at the whole mystery of the co-redemption, it's so important that many people, you know, as I say, don't see a need for proclaiming Our Lady as co-redemptrix. Why do we need that? If we understand that mystery already, why have the dogma for it? And some will say, well, we can handle mediatrix, but they don't like the word co-redemptrix. Somehow they don't think mediatrix somehow confuses people about Christ being a mediator, but they somehow think that co-redemptrix, well, that just sounds too godly. It might just, you know, make Our Lady look like she's a goddess. But all it means is that Our Lady participated with her son in the work of redemption, and that she too was offered for our salvation. And everyone who's ever received a grace or received any grace from the redemption has also to thank Our Lady for it. Not only Jesus, but also Mary. As I said, you know, Christ didn't do it alone. He asked his mother to participate. And the importance of the co-redemption being proclaimed a dogma only helps complete the mystery of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. We know all these dogmas that have already been defined tell us about Our Lady and her person. The graces that she has received kind of tell us who she is. You know, she's the Mother of God. She's the Perpetual Virgin. She's the Immaculate Conception. And she's assumed into heaven. But what does that mean for us? What does that grace of the Immaculate Conception, since all those graces, the perpetual virginity, the maternity, and the Assumption, all are based on that first grace, the most important grace that Our Lady received of her Immaculate Conception. Well, those tell us kind of like who she is, tell us who she is in her being, but what she does and what her importance is for the rest of us is better explained in Our Lady being our co-redemptrix, our mediatrix, and our advocate. It just completes the picture of who Our Lady is. And if you had a picture of your mother, and it was only partial, it was somehow faded, or was, you know, some piece of her face was missing, you wouldn't be able to appreciate it. Her beauty would not be clearly seen. And I think that's why we need this fifth dogma to complete the whole picture of who Our Lady is and what she does for us. You might say, we're always interested in what's in it for me. You know, we're so interested in ourselves. Well, the Immaculate Conception and what's in it for me is that Our Lady's my co-redemptrix. She's my mediatrix and she's my advocate. Our Lady is, and it's so important that we understand that, because just as Christ, you might say, out of humility, allowed Our Lady to be his co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate, we too, if we're really humble children, need and want Our Lady to be our co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. And they'll say, well, I recognize that, but why do I have to proclaim it a dogma? Well, don't you want your mother, if you love your mother, don't you want everyone to recognize her beauty and her dignity and her virtues and the great graces that she has received? Not for her sake, but because it gives glory to God, as we said the other day. And this is something that, you know, as we continue to ponder this mystery, and in the age in which we live, we need to see that, you know, to praise Our Lady redounds to her Son and his glory, and the greatest praise and the greatest, you might say, the best way we can bless her is by imitating her and her virtues. And these things will be brought out more clearly as we have the whole picture of who Our Lady is and what she does in the mystery of God's plan of salvation. Let us ask in a special way Our Lady to grant the graces to our Holy Father and to all those who are instruments and who need to be open to the grace, that the importance of this dogma is so important for our day and age, because we need that grace to help bring about the new springtime of the faith and that new grace for the evangelization of our neo-pagan world in which we live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.